Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Max Sports to the Max, News Talk 830 WCCO. Your safe harbor. Your ship has come home. No, I don't know. That doesn't work either. We've got a good show planned for you tonight. Terry Steinbach is going to join us. He was the MVP of an All-Star game and played on a world championship team. Should the Twins be buyers or sellers? That will be a piece of our conversation, and I ask you that same question. There's so many questions that pertain to the Twins right now. Has it been a good season? That's one question. 651-461-9226. Has this been a good season? I know what you're thinking. I know what you're saying. You're saying, well, yeah, but kind of. But now we don't know if it's a good season or not because the White Sox came in and beat the Twins 3 out of 4. We're not quite sure. But has it been a good season? Because they were in last place last year and they came back and now they're in first place. Has it been a good season so far? Are you so focused on what's next and what could happen after the All-Star break and you're so worried that this thing could turn the other direction that you can't even think you can't enjoy that right now. I can't enjoy the first place. Number two, who should they trade? Who should the Minnesota Twins trade if you assume they need to go get them some pitching? Everybody needs to get them some pitching. And what's complicated the trade game over the years is the number of teams that stay in contention with the expanded playoff format. So at one point in time, you had at this juncture of the season, it was the AL East, the AL West, and there were, you know, five teams that were basically in contention, and then another five that were, you know, had an outside shot, and then everybody else, you could go do deals with them because they didn't need the players, or you'd work the waiver wire and you'd claim somebody off the waiver wire and try to make a deal for them after the trade deadline. There were lots of variables and options out there, but now you have more teams in the game. Here comes Seattle. You know, they went 14 straight out of nowhere, and all of a sudden they're in the middle of this thing. And they're not going to catch Houston, but they may be playing for the playoffs if they can keep at this pace. So now they want to add pitching or depth or something. I wonder if they wouldn't mind getting Miguel Sano to go out there to Seattle and swing away and try to hit balls in that left field. You know, I'm just saying. The Twins need to find a couple of live arms. And they could be starting pitchers that they convert to relievers, or they could be starting pitchers that can pitch longer than 4 innings. Whatever it is, they can go out and find it. They need to go out and find that to get to where they need to go. But who do you trade? Who from the Minnesota Twins would you trade to go out and try to extract that? I mean, do you move? Yeah, well, let's start with the ones that they won't move. They're not going to trade Byron Buxton. They're not going to trade, let's see, who else is on? Luis Rice won't get traded because he's an all-star and he's going to win a batting title. He can't trade a guy like that. Plus, he's pretty valuable to the team. That would be about it in terms of who's off limits. Carlos Correa, I don't think they'd move. The only thing is his contract status. If you don't think, you know, if you go to Correa right now and you say, Carlos, based on your time here, because you've got a player option after this year, based on your time here so far, how do you feel? Do you think you're going to want to come back at the end of the season if he says, you know what, guys, I like it here, but I don't love it. I'm done after this year. Well, then he's doing you a favor because he's saying, put me out there and trade me. And there'd be a market for him, obviously. But I don't know what you would do at shortstop. Do you put Polanco there then? Do you put Luis Arraez there? I don't know, because Royce Lewis is out of the equation now. So you've complicated things. Nick Gordon could play some infield, but you're playing for the playoffs now. And you lose a guy like Correa, that's a feature piece. So I don't think he goes. And then that would be it. Never have they had fewer untouchables as they have this year, and that for a team that's won the division. Never have they had fewer players that they won't part with than this year. But who do you trade for what? 651-461-9226. Gary Sanchez may be in that category as well, because they now need a catcher too. And if you need a catcher, those are hard to come by, but you can go out. What you're looking for there is you look at the teams that are out of the race, and some of them have two veteran catchers. Now, you really don't care if you get the first team or the second team catcher, but you want somebody that's got big league experience that can work with the pitching staff. That's what you want. And then you may or may not get Jeffers back at the end of the season, so you have to approach this as if you're not going to get Jeffers back, and you need somebody that you can count on that can do the job, and they might only hit, you know, .190, but that's okay at this juncture. But you got to piece this thing together now. You've got to tweak this. You've got to fine-tune it. You've got to find a way to get yourself to the finish line as division champs. And so you have to look at every opportunity that will get you to that place. Now, in general, what you do, see, Baltimore was one of those teams. This is, again, where too many teams get in the race. Baltimore is not a great team. Then they go on a win streak. And they've got what? Really good relief pitching, a really good bullpen. So that would be the kind of team that you'd go after. You'd say, hey, what do you got there? We'll give you something. We need a couple of your live arms, you know? And that would be the kind. And then they'd say, well, we got this guy who's got an expiring contract, so we don't think we're going to sign him next year anyway. And you go, perfect, that's who we need. And you go after a team like that. I don't know if a guy like, you know, Zach Greinke's back home now with Kansas City. Is that where he says, I'm going to finish this no matter what? This is it. I finished my career where I started it, and there will be no other. I'm not playing for the playoffs because Kansas City is out of it. So could you make a play for a guy like that, a guy that can give you maybe six or seven innings more regularly and shore up your bullpen? I don't know. But something's going to have to be done because this isn't working the way it is. I mean, Devin Smeltzer, who I thought was a pretty steadying force for that team, throws three innings, they pull him, and next thing you know, he gets sent back to St. Paul. And, you know, there's some other reasons for that. There's, you know, what the rotation looks like coming out of the All-Star break, etc. You only need a four-man rotation for a while, all those things. But I thought he had pitched himself to a point where he was kind of maybe a solid number three behind Ryan and Sonny Gray and somewhere, I thought, ahead of Bundy. And all of a sudden, he's not. He's back in St. Paul pitching. So they've done a lot of this kind of, you know, cut and paste and mix and match and all those things, and that's good. But at some point in time, you got to have a couple horses that are going to give you six and seven innings. And Sonny Gray and Joe Ryan have to be those guys, and I'm not so sure that you go into the second half of the season and say those two are your guys. I don't know that they're there yet. I don't know how you know, based on their body of work, I don't know that you can count on them to be that. You know, Barrios would have been that guy if he was still here. You know, and they talk about Kenta Mejia coming back. I don't know what you can't count on that. I don't know when he'll come back and how strong his arm will be and what he can offer you. But it's a possibility that he could come back and at least be part of the, you know, part of the solution. Hope, but now you're starting to feel. I mean, my gosh, what's going on with the Twins? You know, I mean, you watch the way they've been beat. Their pitching's been beat up, and it's not just this 11-0 game last night. It's that overall. They're giving up too much. So who are you going to trade? Who are you going to trade off this roster to get something of value that can help you win it? 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. I will also tell you about one of the greatest trades the Twins ever made that turned a season right now. And I remember it well. But it was one of those at the time you didn't know. And then when you saw the guy, you said, okay, this works. And then by the end of the season, you go, oh, my gosh, where would they be without him? So it's possible. It's possible to save a season with just one deal. I'll tell you about the greatest trade that they ever made in the last 20 years. And if you got any idea what that is, you can call us or text us as well, 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Phone lines are open, so is the text line. This is Sports to the Max. I called an All-Star Break Edition on WCCO. Welcome back, All-Star break, but it's trade talk time for the Minnesota Twins. When you're in first place and barely staying there, you got to do something to do it right. Terry Steinbach will join us a bit later to break it down. He was an All-Star MVP at one point in time, so he knows a little bit about the All-Star game as well. 651-461-9226. I said I would reveal to you one of the great trades that I saw in Minnesota Twins history. I thought the greatest trade that they made in the last 20 years. Now, there have been a lot of really good trades that they've made. When they brought Bert Blyleven back in, what was it, 85? And then by 87, they had the World Championship. That was a really good deal because he didn't just solidify the pitching staff. He also worked in developing a young, at the time, coming into his prime, Frank Viola. So, that was big, obviously. The deal that they did for Viola when they traded him to the Mets and they got back Kevin Tapany and David West and Rick Aguilera. Now, Aguilera and Tapany, obviously, the feature pieces. And that turned into, you got Tapany and Aguilera. Viola was fine in New York. He ended up in Boston, Toronto, a couple different places. But at the time, he said you can't give up an ace. They did, and they came back. It was a few years later, but they ended up winning a World Series with it. So those were really good trades. But I go to Ron in the East Metro to get his take on this. Greatest trade for the Minnesota Twins that you can recall, Ron?
Well, it's not the one that I recall. I just thought it might be the one you would. I was going to guess the Shannon Stewart trade.
Ding, 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 ding. You are correct. I think that is the best trade that I ever saw. And I mean, kind of post-2000, you know?
Yeah. I think the greatest trade they ever made was the Pruszynski trade.
See, got it. Now you're stealing all my good ones. Pruszynski for Nathan. And at a time when A.J. Pruszynski was really good, he won a world championship without
him. They got Liriano out of that trade, too.
And they got Liriano. But at the time, a young guy named Joe Mauer was coming up, so you didn't need Pruszynski, even though he's a really good player.
Right.
And they extracted this value, and of course, Nathan became lights out, Liriano had his days. He wasn't as consistent, but he had a long major league career and gave them a few good days as well. Correct, Ron?
That's very true.
Yeah, who would you trade
exactly
this year?
I mean, they need pitching help without a doubt, and they have prospects that they can release or trade for, so it comes down to want and need, obviously, and what teams are willing to give. I have no doubt that Felvey and Levine will make something happen.
They'll do something, and I would like to be doing business with the Twins because there's enough people out there that are pretty good players. That are probably available right now. Trevor Larnach could be available. I don't know that Kirilloff you'd get there because he could play first base. Miguel Sano is a flyer, but you might be able to get him. And, that even could be a contending team that needs a big bat. A contending team says, we got enough in our bullpen, but we need somebody that we can just throw out there, bat him seventh, and let him swing from his heels and at least scare people. Sano might be able to fill that void with an expiring contract as well. So I think he could be in play for everybody, not just the team that's out of it.
Yeah, very true. It depends on what they want to give up and what they want to get as well. So.
Yep, well, we know what they want. They want a couple of good arms from the bullpen,
And so does everybody else. Have a good night. I appreciate it.
Appreciate the call, Ron. 651-461-9226. If you want to join us, Shannon Stewart came over for Bobby Keelty, who was at one time a big-time prospect for the Twins and somebody else. It doesn't matter because Stewart was the guy. And the team had played well before that. They just weren't playing well at that time during the season. They needed to jumpstart it, and Terry Ryan recognized that, and he focused on Stewart, and I can't remember the reason why. And Stewart came in, and it was he and Jock Jones and Torrey Hunter in the outfield. And Stewart just had a presence about him, and that season, he gave them more good at-bats than you can remember. I think he might even been named the team's MVP at the end of the year. Quiet kid, nice guy, and he did things. Good things just happened when he was in the game. And he couldn't explain it. He could hit for a little power. He was strong enough to do that. He could hit for average. He could play some defense. But it just seemed like He could beat you in a lot of different ways. Now the Przinski for Nathan trade was great too, because you got Liriano, Nathan was there for a long time. But in terms of turning it around in one season because of a trade, I think most people would agree that followed them at that time that they don't win the division and go to the playoffs without Shannon Stewart. And so I think that was the one. And as it turned out, Kielty was just okay. He wasn't the next, great thing in Toronto. And so it wasn't like you're looking back and saying, boy, I wish we hadn't given up Kielty. It wasn't a deal like that. So as I look back, that was the one. And that was a fun time for Twins baseball because they had just enough good players to compete all the time. But the other question that you ask yourself right now is, are you trying to make deals that will get you a division title? Or are you trying to do deals that will win you a world championship? There's a difference. If you're trying to win the division, you just need to be better than Chicago and Cleveland. Chicago is, barely 500? And they're in contention. Cleveland's just a little bit above that, and they're two games out. So if you're trying to win the division, that's one thing. If you're trying to play with the New York Yankees and the Houston Astros, that's quite another. Now there's this theory that says, well, you got to get there, and once you get there, anything can happen. That's kind of true. But you don't want to build your team right now where it's at. The Twins going into Yankee Stadium is not going to play, and the Twins going to Houston is not going to play, and unless they have some injuries to their top two pitchers or something like that, which could happen, I guess. In theory, you never know. But right now, the way the teams are built, you're trying to find a couple relief pitchers that can help you win the division. Not so sure. I think you got to go a little bit above and beyond that, and I don't know that you can get an ace starter. I doubt you can, but you're going to have to do something. I don't think you need any position players. I think you've got enough of them. I think you got about 13, 14 guys that can play, with the exception of finding a catcher now that Jeffers is out. I don't think you need to do anything more than that. First base is always going to be maybe a little bit of a bugaboo. Is Arias ideal over there? He's okay. Plays better than we expected. Polanco's good at second. You got Correa's great at short, could win the All-Star game. Ursula's fine at third base. And then you go to the outfield and you go, okay, when Buxton plays, then you got to have a good backup center fielder because Buxton's not always going to play. Kepler's okay in right field. You'd trade him if somebody gave you value for him. And then you got Kirilloff and Larnach and Nick Gordon and Garlick and these guys trading off in left field. That's okay. You would prefer to have somebody like Larnach step up, be a big power hitter, be healthy, and just go out there and play left field every day, or Kirilloff. Or Kirilloff's your first baseman every day and Arias is your DH every day. I don't know. That's what you'd prefer. Kirilloff has that good hand eye and he's got soft hands. So he's got a way about him of playing first base that I think is pretty good. He's a better first baseman than I ever realized because he understands the game and he can make up for a lot of things with those soft hands. If you ever see a great first baseman and they got good hands, here's how you can tell if they're great. Watch guys throw them short hops. Watch them throw them balls in the dirt that they got to scoop out. The really good ones, they make it look easy and it looks like it's just supposed to happen that way. But if you go out and try that sometime, good luck. Go out there and try. Have your buddy throw you balls in the dirt. And your job is to come up clean with it. Have him throw it as close to you and bounce it before. And see if you can come up with it. But the really, really good ones do that. And they change their feet on the fly. And they do all these things. Tom Kelly used to spend an inordinate amount of time working with guys on how to play first base because he thought that there were just so many defensive opportunities that would determine the outcome of the game based on footwork and based on understanding how to play first base. I used to think, too, you just throw somebody out there. Arias can do some of those things because he's got good feet, he's got a good understanding of the game, and even though he's not a big target, he moves well. He moves well and he understands, how middle infielders throw the ball, those things. So I guess it's going to be fun the second half of the season. I'm just not quite sure how this thing's going to play out. And you didn't get a real good feel when you saw what the White Sox are capable of this weekend. They didn't have Jimenez, and they didn't have Robert for the last two games. And they still just dug in and swung from their heels and did a number on the Twins. And that thing yesterday was painful. But sometimes painful is good because painful tells you that you got to do something different to change painful. And I would think that they got, you know, message sent, message received for the Minnesota Twins. Terry Steinbach has won a world championship ring, and he has played in the All-Star game. And he hit a home run off of Dwight Doc Gooden. And for those of you that aren't old enough to remember, Dwight Doc Gooden was something else at the time. And he won the American League. He won the MVP of the game because of it. We'll visit with him about that, about what kind of a catcher they need to find to go with Sanchez, about what deals the Twins have to make in the second half of the season, and a whole lot more because he knows the game a whole lot better than I do. He's next on Sports to the Max.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.